Practically Righteous Ministries presents Be the Light of the World with Pastor Michael Packard.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 from the New International Version. In an earlier program, I challenged you to make a paradigm shift, to change your perspective on your relationship with God and the people around you. I challenged you to be the love of God to everyone you encounter. This time I'm going to raise the stakes a little bit and talk to you about how you should live your life in Christ, and about how your life in Christ makes you accountable to Him for the people whose lives you affect by your witness and your testimony. Today I'm going to challenge you to live the good news of the kingdom of God and of your salvation in Jesus Christ, to let your salvation be evident and obvious to all of those around you, and to always hold on to the hope that is within you, and to always be able to give reasons for the hope that you have. Today I'm going to challenge you to be the light of the world. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for the message you are about to give us. Father, help us to receive it and to let it enter our hearts. Help us, Lord, to meditate on your words and cause your words to spark action in our lives. Equip us to reach out to the lost and hurting in our world. Lord, open our hearts to feel your love and our minds to understand your instructions for us. And take away from us anything that would distract or hinder us from receiving all that you have for us today. Do the perfect work in our lives today. We give this time to you, in Jesus' name, for your honor and glory. Amen. We live in a dark world. Everywhere you look today, movies, television, radio, billboards, newspapers, bumper stickers, t-shirts, whatever, they all proclaim the messages of the lost. The drinking is socially acceptable. The premarital sex is a requirement for every serious relationship. And that extramarital sex is okay too, as long as you don't get caught. They say that drugs should be legalized, that it's okay to hate people who are different than you. People with money and power are above the law and can go unpunished for their crimes. Homosexuality is a natural, alternative lifestyle and should be promoted. In our schools, our children are taught, in the words of Frank Peretti, life is an accident, and that you are the result of a meaningless conglomeration of molecules that came together purely by chance billions and billions of years ago, and that became gooey creatures swimming in a primordial soup that eventually developed legs and crawled up on land, and then billions of years later became monkeys. And then the monkey started shaving and developed into you, from goo to you, by way of the zoo. As such, you have no real reason to be here. Your existence is pointless. The universe won't mind a bit when you die, and when you do, you'll just become just more compost. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." And in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, the Apostle Paul declares, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 23, the prophet says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight, Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. And later, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, last time I warned you about turning people away from God by our actions towards them and our reactions to them. Many people are lost because they are turned off by so-called organized religion, because of the actions of so-called Christians who were more interested in justifying themselves than helping people find the way, the truth, and the life. Those people are turned away because God was misrepresented to them by people claiming to be His. The people who become the most defiant against God don't really know God or about His salvation. Some people don't know that their existence doesn't end in death. Their point of view is that if this one brief shot of life is all that they get, they might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. That's a quote from Isaiah chapter 22, verse 13. Some people believe that if they are good enough, they will automatically go to heaven, and they don't need to worry about it. Or maybe they believe that God is love. He wouldn't send anyone to hell. But what they don't know is that we are all separated from God by our sins and need His forgiveness, and that the gates of hell are locked from the inside, and that we send ourselves there and condemn ourselves by not turning to God and receiving the salvation Jesus gave His life to give us. Most people have never met God. They have never seen His face. They have never heard His voice. They live in darkness and do not know it because they have never seen the light. We need to be the light of the world. The only image of God most people see is the one reflected in the lives and actions of His people. Too often, that image is distorted. Our mirrors are dirty because we do not keep them clean. The things we are taught, we do not put into practice. We let the things of the world crowd out the things of God. We let our attitude slip because we will not let His peace rest upon us, and we will not let His joy fill us. In the words of Jesus, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Look at the moon. We see it at night because the light of the sun reflects off of it, but it's not like a mirror. We do not see the sun. We see the dust that covers the moon. We see the bumps, the rocks, the craters. The moon has its own problems, which are revealed by the light, and because of the abundance of these problems, they are all we see. We do not see the glory of the sun in the reflection that we receive from the moon. Likewise, when we let our own issues crowd out the things of God in our lives, the only reflection the people around us see is our issues and inadequacies, lit up in stark contrast to the faith that we profess with our mouths. Our mirrors are warped because we do not know the scriptures or the power of God. We read verses out of context and then shoehorn them into our own pet doctrines. We ignore verses that contradict what we want to believe, calling them allegory and not literal truth. We make a God in our own image and then try to inflict Him on others rather than reflect the image of the true God who can save them. Our mirrors are out of alignment because we aren't constantly seeking His face. Since we are not always pointed completely in God's direction, we can only receive part of His image and reflect only a glimpse of His light. Let's go back to the moon. When the earth isn't obstructing the light of the sun, we see a full moon, a circle of brightness shining in the dark. We only see the full moon for a couple of days in the cycle. The rest of the time, the moon is not in the right place, since it orbits the earth, to give us a full reflection. We get a partial reflection. What we see is still bright, but it's not the full picture of the moon as it is during a full moon. And during a lunar eclipse, you can't see the moon at all. it's completely in the wrong place. Similarly, during the times that we are not directed by God, when we are not diligently seeking to know Him and His will for us, we are not reflecting His image fully. The good we may do and the help we may give demonstrates the light He has shown us, but it does not give the whole picture. And the longer we stray, the dimmer His light is. And when we backslide, He stops shining in our lives. The light that we are given shines out in all directions to encourage the lost and help them find their way to Jesus. The light that led you out of darkness was reflected off the face of someone willing to be that reflection. How accurate is His image reflecting off of you today? How bright is your light today? Is your mirror dirty? Are there issues in your life that are causing His light to be distorted? Are you focusing on Jesus, receiving His full light so that you can reflect His full light? Think about that for a while we take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Let me honor Jesus with a heart of obedience, with a life of surrender to my Lord and Savior. Let me honor the King of Kings with my life as an offering for the good that He has done. Let me honor God's own. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me honor the Holy One with the heart sold out to the Son, knowing He is the only one. The work is finished, now the job is done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give my heart to the King. Join in as the angels sing, celebrating my life in Him, as His blood cleanses me within. Let me honor Jesus with a heart of obedience, with a life of surrender to my Lord and Savior. Sing hallelujah.
how to love people. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now you know how to love people.
You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365. We're continuing with Be the Light of the World. Here's Pastor Michael.
Welcome back. I'm going to tell you something that will change your whole life if you let it. You are accountable to God for who your neighbor becomes in Christ because of your testimony. You are accountable to God for how you share the light that you have been given. God has carried you through trials and tests, which have together become a testimony of His faithfulness to you. And He has commissioned you to share that testimony with others. More than that, He has prepared you from the beginning and has uniquely qualified you through your tribulations to be His light to people who are facing similar trials in the dark. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You have a responsibility to share the good news. People are on the road to destruction, and God loved them enough to send Jesus to pay for their sins and reconcile them to Himself, and He loves them enough to send you to show them His love and to help them turn from their sins and towards God. You are part of His redemptive plan for them. He has given you His light so that you can be a beacon for them in the darkness. And if they are willing to come, you can lead them to His light. You must take your responsibility seriously. The lives of your neighbors depend on your willingness to be the light of God. Here is a very heavy passage of Scripture. It's Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. It says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, 'You will surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his sin or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself." Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning. and you will have saved yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Peter says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" To be the light of the world, we need to receive the light of the world. We need to know Jesus. We need to let Him light us up on the inside so that we can shine on the outside. We need to be fully equipped and be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks about the hope that is within us. But they won't ask about the hope we have within us if they do not see it, if we do not demonstrate through our lives and our actions that we have the hope. And we cannot demonstrate it on the outside if we do not have it on the inside, and we cannot have it on the inside if we don't know about it. We receive the message of the hope. We believe the message, and it becomes hope inside us. We demonstrate that hope in our actions and our lifestyle. And then we testify of the hope within us whenever anybody asks. This is how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. 4. It says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call upon one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." We need to get the message in us and let it transform our hearts and renew our minds. We need to take a stand and listen to God's instructions for our lives, meditate on His instructions, and follow them day by day. As we change, people will notice and see that we have a hope that they do not have, and they will ask us about it. The brighter our light shines, the more people will notice. We can't say a word to them about Jesus until they see Jesus in our lives and He calls them to ask. Our words are meaningless without the faith that backs them up. Without the inward commitment to our Lord, any outward expressions are meaningless. Instead of telling them of our faith, we need to show them our faith by what we do. How do we know what to do? We need to dive into the Bible with all our hearts and grab onto His instructions for our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible is filled with instructions for how to live our lives. The Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 17. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 6 through 8. The whole book of Proverbs and all of the epistles in the New Testament. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and the book of Jude. They're all good places to learn His way for you from. Search the Scriptures and find His will for your life and live that way. As God said through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it says, "Then your light will break forth from the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." Here's a start on that path. Paul wrote these instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." And later in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, He said, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and of the life to come." In his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 2, verses 22 through 26, the Apostle Paul added, "Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance and lead them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." In Galatians, Paul wrote, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anybody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." That's Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. In James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18, the Lord's brother James adds, "Who are wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, Peter says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it in the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever." Think about these passages for a while, and we'll pick this up when we get back from this break. Stay tuned.
I'm a believer. evil. I'm a believer in the blood of the Lamb. In the great I am that I am. I'm a believer. I'm a receiver. I'm a believer. In the great I am. In the blood of the Lamb. In the King of Kings. The Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. Rastaman blood. Down to my soul, oh yeah. Took away my iniquity, making me feel whole. I'm alive again. I'm alive again. I've been around and I'm coming around. Again, in the power of the Most High, in the power of the Most High, in the power of the Most High. Writing across the sky. Oh, yeah. Well, I said I'm a believer. Fly, eagles, fly. Fly across the sky right now. They shall mount up on wings as eagles and fly. Eagles fly. Come on now and fly. Eagles fly, fly. Whoa.
Continuing with Be the Light of the World, here's Pastor Michael.
Okay, we're back. So what does this all mean? Okay, well basically it means that if we believe the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel will change our lives. We'll do what he tells us in Scripture. We'll seek Him and find Him and share Him with others. Do you want what God wants? God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you believe the message? Are you willing to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to stand out in a crowd and be different? That's what Christianity is about. It's about setting a higher standard in love and in life, to do what is right and not what is merely convenient, and not that what will satisfy your fleshly desires, to turn away from immorality and destructive behavior, and to show people that there is a better way, to love people enough to accept them just the way they are and then do whatever it takes to help them escape from where they are. Are you willing to be the light of the world? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the powerful and convicting message you have given us today. We ask you, Sovereign Lord, to search our hearts and reveal to us what we need to change in order to be your light to the people you send us. Make those changes in us, Lord. Give us a hunger for your word and for your active presence in our lives. Renew our minds and transform our hearts and make us your people, Lord. Help us to let our light shine before men so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Lord, cause our lives and our testimonies to draw those who need you and to seek out and to seek you out so that they will be saved. You are our hope and our salvation. Let your light shine in us, in Jesus' name, for your honor and glory. And everybody said, His love endures forever. God be with your hearts this week. See you next time.
For more information about this program, visit our website at www.berighteous.com. If this program has encouraged you in your walk with Christ, drop us an email and let us know. Our address is radio@berighteous.com. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365.